and see what happens. It should be a lot of fun. WOAI, for example, from San Antonio, Texas, reaches, well, I was in Mazatlan, and they were about the strongest thing on the dial in Mazatlan, and if you look at that on a map, you'll see how far down she is. And so that ought to be a lot of fun. And we'll do that in the next hour. So while I don't know it much, and it does depend on the ionosphere, it tends to be good in the winter because we don't have so many thunderstorms going on usually. And so the ionosphere or signals bouncing from the ionosphere are heard more easily, obviously, since there is not so much static. Now, of course, lately the weather has been bizarro, and there have been thunderstorms and tornadoes at times in the winter when there should not be. And the weather, I'm sorry to say, is still in the top of the news. It just keeps coming. Those areas that you'll recall got hit with ice and snow, you saw the pictures, are now melting and badly flooding. Other areas already pounded are getting it again. The Northeast is flooding all the way from West Virginia to Pennsylvania to North Carolina. It's awful. In New York, and I don't know, a lot of people are going to like this one, I guess. In New York, high winds actually blew down part of the dome of the UN General Assembly building. That's how high the winds were there. Near Buffalo, New York, cars were being swept away by water. Washington, D.C. is flooding. It is bitter cold in the Midwest. That continues, 44 degrees, minus 44. Fargo, North Dakota, about 1.5 feet more of snow, and minus 80 with wind, minus 80 degrees. We've been hearing Minnesota temperatures. It went down yesterday to minus 90 degrees. That is dangerously cold. And authorities are telling people, you better stay home. You better not go out. If you do, you could die. In other words, it could be fatal. Chicago at midday yesterday was 61 degrees. Today it's 10 degrees. So I'm trying to figure this weather thing out. Winter not yet halfway over, even. Now, there was a terrible fire at an apartment building in Chicago. My guess is, if you watch the news or are glued to it as I am, one fireman caught a 9-year-old child falling from the 5th floor in midair. Heroic indeed, lucky beyond belief. He actually, as she fell, as she went by, he caught her in midair. Now, you wouldn't think they'd be able to find a political aspect in the cold weather and the government shutdown with regard to a fire, you know, a tragedy, and yet, oh, they've done it. U.S. Secretary of Housing Henry Cisneros has said the fire is because the government is shut down, because there should have been building inspections and weren't. In other words, he did everything but say that fire was a Republican fire. The mayor of Chicago doesn't believe that at all. Richard Daley accused the administration of trying to take political advantage of a tragedy, and, you know, it does seem a little that way, doesn't it? This, as usual, insightful from Scott up in Butte Creek, Oregon. Hi, Art. So Henry Cisneros is blaming the Republicans for the fire in Chicago that killed four. That's a bigger reach than that brave firefighter made in catching the little girl. Maybe these people think before they open their mouths. It really is sickening, which is kind of like the quickening politically, that they would make a comment of that sort. I mean, it really, really is reprehensible as far as I'm concerned. Now, look, Friday night, Saturday morning, we try and do things a bit differently here in that we are more open, and if you guys want to go to the wild side, more than normal, that's possible. It's okay. In Chechnya, or in the Chechenian situation, in Turkey, the crisis has ended peacefully. The hostages are free. Turkish government said it didn't make any concessions to the gunmen, nor did they attack them. In Moscow, it worked out a bit differently. A village was leveled in Russia. It was leveled by elite Russian troops who were very angry at the politicians for allowing the rebels to dig in for 4 days, who are very hurt, having taken many casualties. The elite Russian troops complained their radios did not work. They couldn't even talk to each other. They did manage to kill 180 rebels with relentless rocket launches, multiple rocket launchers, tanks, and so forth and so on. A Janet Reno-sized force. Nevertheless, 150 escaped, and including the leader of the Chechen rebels, and made it back to Chechnya. I'll tell you something, this isn't over. The Moscowites feel fear the worst, that there'll be some sort of nuclear or biological or something or another that'll happen to them. And it may. Boris Yeltsin was attacked relentlessly in the Russian press for his handling of this. Meanwhile, back in Washington, our president says, well, he's trying to give Yeltsin wide latitude in dealing with terrorism because, quote, this is Bill Clinton, because, quote, Russia is fundamentally a democracy, end quote. Now, how would you characterize that statement by our president? Russia is fundamentally a democracy. I guess you could try and make that argument. It seems poor timing to make that argument after after what just occurred to that village and the women and children and everybody else. I mean, they just massively, frontally attacked and leveled that village. Without respect to the hostages, without a whole lot of negotiation. They did not wait nearly so long as our government did at Waco. And so Bill Clinton's response is, well, they're fundamentally a democracy, so we've got to give them latitude in going after these terrorists. It's a weird world, huh? Big story on NBC about the baby boomers, and I always pay attention to these because I'm a boomer, sort of, on the cusp of the boom, 1945, middle of the year. 78 million baby kaboomers out there, maybe that's a better name, worried now very much about their golden years with good cause because they may not be so golden. One baby boomer turns 50 every 7.5 seconds, 10,000 a day. And you know what? What a surprise, huh? They are not ready for retirement. Many with no retirement money at all. None. They have borrowed. They have spent. They are in debt. They are the generation which once said and practiced their live for today slogan. The only problem is they had their fun then, and now today is over, and tomorrow is almost here. And it is a very interesting story in a lot of ways. In other words, what are your expectations? Do you think that that you're going to be comfortable in retirement? Are you beginning to get scared? You know, if you're in your 50s and you're not beginning to get ahead a little bit, you're going to live to be an average 76 point something or another years of age. So you've got about 13, 15 years that you're going to have to make it without a regular income. Are you ready for that? I have a feeling that's what shapes a lot of political opinion in this country. And when you're making money, you obviously pretty much want to keep it, or as much of it as you can. Now, when the boomers get to the point where they're at the end of their work life and they're ready for the golden years, gone fishing, only they can't go fishing because they can't even afford a pole and a little bit of fishing line and a hook and sinker, because they're sunk. So, what do you think? And be honest with me, are you ready now for retirement, or can you see that by the time you're going to retire, you're going to be comfortable? Company pensions? The Social Security system? A little iffy. And so, if those don't come through for you, have you saved money? Have you invested wisely? Do you have a nice little nest egg put away? Are you going to be able to live? I don't know. It's a big, big problem for the baby boomers. I'm one of them. Now, you want to talk about intriguing, speculative, inviting news. This is it. The Galileo probe survived in Jupiter's atmosphere for 1 hour. But in that hour, we got a hell of a lot of data. And apparently, the scientists have already interpreted much of this data. And what NBC said is that NASA says the information from Galileo that we have gathered about Jupiter's atmosphere may force, I'm quoting now, may force a reevaluation of how the solar system was formed. Oh, that's a very non-trivial thing to say. I wonder how far out on a limb they're going to go. But the information is that hot. It may force a reevaluation of how the solar system was formed in the first place. The information is due to be released tomorrow. So, what do you think? What do you think they might have discovered on Jupiter, an intriguing planet anyway, that would lead us away from our present scientific ideas of the formation of the universe? Now, this is a very, very non-trivial thing for them to come out and say something that strong. What do you think they mean? There was no Big Bang. There was no solid mass and void and then explosion. And what do they mean? A more trivial aspect of the formation of the universe? Nothing really trivial about it in an awful lot of ways. So I don't know. But I think we'll stop there, and I've got some more. I've got Bosnia seems on track for now. Spring, I believe, will tell the tale. If there's going to be trouble in Bosnia, it will not come, for the most part, until the spring. Anyway, I think I'll get the phone lines open. I am so intrigued, you could well imagine, by this kind of drop-in by NBC about the Jupiter probe, Galileo, having gathered information so startling that it may force a reevaluation of how the entire solar system was formed. You ever wonder how wrong we might have it? I know what it says in the Bible, but I have always felt that the hand of God may well have been absolutely involved in the beginning of the process that we call creation. And what seems to be a specific creation by the hand of God may be a non-specific creation. In other words, we're not gods. We don't know. And his hand, that's why I don't find these two theories of evolution and creation to be so much at odds with each other. I mean, who is to say that God didn't say, all right, let there be? And then the process of nature, even with nature to some degree having in effect a free will, the process began, the creation began. And maybe God didn't tend to every little tiny detail. He just sort of said, let the games begin, as it were. Anyway, this is the kind of story that you know I love, so if you would like to get your 2 cents worth in, you're welcome to do so. Let me give you the official version of the numbers. And next hour, I'm going to open up a DX line for an hour, an international line. And it'll be kind of fun to see where we are heard. Anyway, right now, if you are a first-time caller to the program, the number is area code 702-727-1222. The wild card lines, area code 702-727-1295, 702-727-1295. Naturally, there is a free way for you to call in. West of the Rockies, it's 1-800-618-8255. 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, it's 1-800-825-5033. 1-800-825-5033. Also, Paul Niskanen will be here in about an hour and a half to talk about, briefly, talk about the cruise we're going to take. He's the guy who plans these things, and he is brilliant at what he does. I've got, coming after the bottom of the hour here, a very special announcement about a guest that I've got coming up Monday that I think a lot of you knew that I was. And at that time, I didn't know Paul. And I didn't know the kind of work he did because the trip had not yet occurred. What he gave us was so superb, so well done in every way, that this time I know what's coming. I know what kind of job these people do. It's incredible. It's awesome. And any of the people who took the Orient cruise are welcome to call. And say, I cannot imagine you could not say the exact same thing. Gosh, these people were good. And so he'll be here to tell us about the Scandinavian-Russian cruise coming up in August. It'll be the one time you'll get an opportunity to hear it from the man who plans it. So you don't want to miss that. That'll be about an hour and a half. Already comments on what I've said, Art. Baby boomers. In my case, there is no tomorrow. Is that clear enough? Dwayne in Seattle. P.S., you've never mentioned, is there a limit to faxing you per week or per night? Well, yes. 1.4 faxes per night, Dwayne. The limits on faxing, yeah, I'd like it if you would hold it to once per night. There are exceptions. You know, I mean, if something's going on and it's hot, then obviously, yes. Otherwise, one fax would really suffice, and generally one page would suffice. They're the ones that I tend to read because they're short, to the point, and so forth and so on. So I prefer one, but I mean, if something's going on. Now, if you send more than 3 pages, my fax machine will not print them. And I will not see them, so you have wasted your money. Now, I was forced to do that because of the number of faxes that I get. But, you know, on one full written type sheet, you definitely ought to be able to convey whatever it is you want to say. One other fax from Ron down in Birmingham, Alabama. Dear Art, I looked for the L.A. Times article on your show without success. Could you please announce where it was found, date, section, or page number? Well, all right. It was this last Saturday's L.A. Times. It was on the front of the calendar section. And I'll tell you kind of an interesting story. My wife's mom lives in Orange County, so she grabbed some copies for us. And when it got here, the entire article was there. But it was on the bottom of the front page of the calendar section in black and white. Then some of you sent me copies of the L.A. Times, and it was at the top of the calendar section, front page, and it was a very large, full-color picture. So apparently, I guess, the L.A. Times in Orange County is somehow put together in a different way than the one that is intended for L.A. So that's where it was. That's when it was. I don't know if you can get a copy of it. I suppose stuff like that is archived. And I didn't think it, you know, it's not a bad photo. I mean, you can tell me, a lot of you I know saw it. All right, it's off to two-way Radioville. And aside from Paul Niskanen here for a while, in the next hour, no, the following hour, it'll be open lines all night long. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi. Hello.
Hi, my name is Mark. I'm calling from Phoenix.
Hi, Mark.
Listen, I enjoy your show very much.
Thank you.
I wanted to let you know that I share your fascination for astronomical events like the Galileo probe.
Well, that's a pretty strong statement, isn't it, that the information may force a reevaluation of how the solar system was formed. Wow.
Yeah, I think, and you know, you mentioned right after that that it sort of got you to think about God, you know, and I, you know, that's kind of what it makes me think about, too.
Well, you know, yeah, sure, of course. I mean, it certainly, we can't do it, can we? We can't create. It takes God or something. And I think God, and, you know, there's always this great argument between evolution and creation and
right.
How it was done. And I see the possibility of God, a supreme being, simply saying, more or less, create.
Mm-hmm.
And then allowing the process to ensue without being involved in every little tiny detail of the creation, as he was not involved in every little tiny detail or is not, of our lives at the moment.
Right, right. I just, I sort of agree that that whole process is a little bit of a mystery and we shouldn't try to figure it out too much.
Yeah, I wonder if we ought to know. I mean, if we will ever, or even if we should know.
Huh. Well, I think we will, but that's, you know, a lot of reason for that is I myself am a Christian and I believe I'll know someday.
Oh, well, I think you probably will, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just too bad. One thing's too bad. You can't come back and tell us.
Well, why don't we all go there?
Yeah, all right. Well, we will. Thank you very much. Except, I'm getting more faxes from people who claim to be immortal. You know, it's the doggonest thing you've ever heard. People claiming to be immortal. There are more of them than you can know. And either there are a whole bunch of liars out there, and I know this is going to give plenty of fodder to those who like throwing snowballs at me, but maybe there is something to it. Maybe there are some people out there. I mean, I've had some very serious faxes. People who claim they've been here for hundreds of years, or thousands in some cases. And I just, somehow it got brought up one night, and then I began to get the faxes. And I'm not sure what to make of it. Either there are some very articulate, credible-sounding people who absolutely claim to be immortal, or there are some very articulate, credible-sounding congenital liars out there, and I have no way of knowing which, but I really do mildly suspect there may be something to it, and there may be some of those out there that don't simply don't age. That, too, is a fascinating topic. East of the Great Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Good, Art. Let me get my...
A radio. Get that sucker turned down.
There she goes.
All right.
Okay, well, I was just trying to write down, you know, an order of what I wanted to talk to you about.
Okay.
But you caught me in mid-sentence. So the jump of the Aussie virus to a different species.
Yes, sir.
And you were talking about how that might go to humans.
It could eventually, or it could go to another host, like a mouse, like the Hunter virus went to the mouse, for
That's
example.
That's what I was thinking, like to the kangaroos.
And somebody called yesterday and said, well, you know, that doesn't mean it's going to jump to a human. No, it doesn't mean it. But in fact, I said, remember, the Hunter virus did jump to humans.
Right, right. And also, what was that about the telescope thing? I missed the first part of your show tonight.
The Galileo. You remember that, the probe that went down into Jupiter?
Right.
Okay, it survived 1 hour in Jupiter's atmosphere.
Uh-huh.
And in that hour, it sent back a real bundle of data. And NBC said last night that NASA is saying the information due to be released tomorrow, quote, may force a reevaluation of how the solar system was formed.
Interesting.
Ooh, yeah. Oh, yes, very interesting.
I always thought that it had something to do with centrifugal force and, like, the mass of different particles. Like, if you figure that that Venus, if you took some of the carbon dioxide from Venus and put it on Mars and some of the water from Mars and put it on Venus, and here we are smack dab in the middle, with the perfect amount for life.
Well, for our life.
For our life.
It is very egotistical to imagine that life can only be based as we are based. There may be carbon-based life.
And also the satellite that saw those planets that are possibly capable of sustaining life.
Yes, sir.
35 million light years away.
The Hubble, yes.
Right. The thing is, they said that those planets are about the size of Jupiter.
Right.
So if we stepped upon them, we'd instantly be smashed.
Yes, we'd be little puddles. Well, actually, long before we got to the surface. But wait a minute now. Hold it.
Okay.
Think about it the other way around. Let us say, as the scientists imagine, that those planets may support life.
Right.
Suppose that life came here.
With its own evolution, right.
I mean, no, let's just say they got a spaceship in the air.
Okay.
Into space, crossed that many light years, and arrived on Earth. Now, what would a being capable of living on one of the two planets we just talked about be here?
What would he be here?
Yeah, you know what he'd be?
He'd be pretty strong.
He'd be Superman.
Yeah.
He'd be Superman, and you know we'd need kryptonite quick.
You betcha. He'd probably run for office, too, Art.
Yeah, well, he'd probably just simply take the office.
Well, love your show, Art. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you very much. In other words, any biological organism to live on such a planet would have to be incredibly dense, incredibly strong, and if that being was here, it would be literally Superman, certainly in strength, in the strength category, if nothing else, and bullets would not pierce his skin, that kind of thing. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. This is Jeff, the record cat from Milwaukee, 620 WTMJ.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I just wanted to inform you, just in case somebody didn't call you, about the weather down here. Yesterday, it topped out about 53 degrees, about noonish. The temperature fell, and by about 10 o'clock at night, it was about 10 degrees, the wind chill about 25 below.
What about now?
It's not quite as cold. It's, I would say it's like 10, 15 degrees below wind chill.
Zero? Mm. Well, I don't know what to say about that, except better thee than me.
Yeah.
It's been running up to about 65, 70 degrees here during the day. It's been really hard to take.
Well, seems like really nice compared to here.
Anyway, yeah, I know. The weather, my friend, is strange. And the only question worth asking is this a cycle? Did we have a bad hurricane season, the worst, followed by a terrible winter?
Mm-hmm.
Is it just sort of a cycle or an aberration, or a beginning of a profound change?
I think it's an aberration.
You do, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Not a change?
No.
So next year, it might be much better.
Yeah, hopefully.
Hopefully.
Can't.
All right, well, thank you very much. My prediction would be the opposite. At least with regard to next year, I think this year is going to be terrible. Bad hurricane season. Next year, it will be even worse. That's my prediction. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hi, Art. This is Rick in Peru, Indiana.
Hi there.
How you doing?
All right.
How goes the battle with pulling the old proverbial cancerous nails out of your coffin?
Well, first of all, I'm not sure that quitting after this period of time pulls them out. Maybe it stops the final few from being nailed in.
Yeah, I can relate.
But it's on and off. It's a struggle, I'll tell you.
I was curious to see what brand name you did smoke, or can you announce that over the air?
I could, but I'm not going to. I don't want to mention a brand name, but I'll tell you this. I believe they claim to have the lowest tar and nicotine of any brand made. A lot of people, you know, sometimes I'll give them one of my cigarettes,
mm-hmm.
and they puff on it, and they give it back. They say, hey, this isn't even a cigarette.
Yeah, I missed your prediction show. I wanted to give you a prediction about the guy with the orangutan bone marrow.
Oh, what would you have predicted?
I would have predicted that he would have died in 96.
Well?
Because...
As far as I know, so far he is still alive. Boy, would I ever like to interview that guy.
Well, you know how it is. Almost every time we mess with Mother Nature, she has a tendency to bite us back.
That doesn't mean that we cannot make scientific progress.
Well, I can understand.
But, yeah, I do sort of agree with that general assessment. We mess around, and then it's kind of like this thing in Australia where the scientists wanted to kill the rabbits, right? So they had a little island, they had an experiment, it got loose, now it's killing rabbits all over Australia. Now there are people talking about a jumping host, and it seems like when we mess with Mother Nature, yeah, she comes back and kicks us in the butt.
Yep, I can relate. Well, and thanks for the call, and have a good show.
Thank you, and have a good morning. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Well, ding-dongs, Mr. Bell.
Hello.
Pete in Portland.
Yes.
Lovely liberal Portland, where Al Gore has just come to roost for our Senate race. You've heard about that.
Up there supporting, yes.
Yeah, Ron Wyden. I'd like to say hello to all my militant brethren, you know, the Mazuma Hadin, the Chattanooga Chechens.
The Mazuma Hadin?
The Mazuma Hadin.
Mazuma Hadin, not the Mujah Hadin. No, right.
And the Chattanooga Chechens. The Santa Fe de Eames, the Albuquerque Bijani, and of course the Baton Rouge Guards. Oh, brothers, keep your heads down.
You know, I wish I could laugh at that. I'm not laughing about that. I am, though. I'm trying to put together, we've got a request in to the BATF to get an agent, public person, to talk to us.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think I would like to get somebody from one of the militias, or maybe even one of the so-called free men.
Oh, yeah.
On the same program. Now, would that be interesting or what?
Surely would. You know that guy from this big planet that you were speculating on?
Yeah.
He might be a Superman, but he'd also be only 15 inches tall and about 6 feet wide.
Well, that also would be I don't know if I'd enjoy that at all either. Now, I mean, who's to say, though? They might, well, you're right. They would need a wide, strong base of support.
They'd be squashed by the gravity.
But still, they might go rolling over us the way Schwarzkopf did the Iraqis. Right?
Could be. Or slip under us like those flying flapjacks in some Star Trek episode, as I remember.
Well, they would... One day, I would be on a 50,000-watt clear channel station. I had that dream as a boy, listening to my... actually, my first radio that my mom got me was a 7-transistor... they counted transistors in those days. A 7-transistor GE radio, and I would spend my nights listening to the farthest away station I could hear. Well, now I've grown up, and my wish really has come true. I hope yours can someday, or is now. But mine has certainly come true in spades. We're on about, I think, 244 stations right now nationwide. And a very large number of them are big 50,000-watt clear-channel radio stations. So yesterday at 3 in the morning, and this is what I'm a little unsure of, what are the better times to try this? But I think that I would like to try it now. We may not be so good at this time across the pole. I got calls last night from Norway, from Japan, from Johnston Island, from, oh gosh, just all over the place, Okinawa. We're heard all over the place, but you see at this earlier hour now, we have the advantage of the monster WOAI down in San Antonio. And I'm telling you right now, because I was in Mazatlan, they blast down there. They go south like a rocket. And some other Midwest stations like WJR Detroit, which must go all over the place, and so on and so forth, Como and Seattle, and I really couldn't name them all, but we're radiating out all over the place, and there are a lot of people who are what are called DXers. So I hereby, for the balance of this hour, set aside the following number for only international calls. International calls. If you are, and obviously we know we're heard in Mexico, but farther down, be interesting. Heard in Canada, but farther up would be interesting. But if you're out in the Pacific, Tahiti, Japan, Okinawa, Johnston Island, Guam, any of those far-flung places, and you're able to hear my voice, I'm going to give you a number. I'm going to ask the rest of the audience, difficult as it is, to cooperate and not call this number. Just hold it open for international calls. As of right now, the number to call internationally is 1, or excuse me, in America, area code 702-727-1222, only internationally. Call America at area code 702-727-1222. And if everybody else would be kind enough to refrain for just 1 hour, maybe some of these people will be able to get through. Let me give it one more time, because I know there is a lot of fading out there. So if you've got a big antenna up somewhere and you're hearing us way far away, let's devote this hour to seeing exactly where we can be heard. Area code 702-727-1222. Internationally only. Now, hi, Art. Could you say hi to my wife, Lisa? She's in my truck listening to your show right now, and she'd freak out. Thanks, Mike in Spokane. No, Mike, I'm not allowed to do that. We're talking about a most remarkable story dropped off at NBC's midpoint in their evening newscast about the Galileo probe. It survived, as you know, 1 hour in Jupiter's atmosphere. Not a long time, but long enough so that NBC said that NASA is going to release information tomorrow, now today, later today, that their words now, quote, may force a reevaluation of how the solar system was formed, end quote. Now, is that intriguing or what? How the solar system was formed. I wonder exactly what this will challenge. It's an obvious statement. You read between the lines. It's going to challenge traditional scientific thinking. And, you know, I mean, here we are. We're people who can't even figure out if beta carotene is good for us or not. So one day it is, next day it isn't. So I don't know. But intriguing, and I wonder what you think they might be about to say later today about the differences. And then I've got a little facts here I'd like to read you, which I think that you will enjoy. The secret of anti-gravity. Listen now. If you drop, and I know this is right, if you drop a buttered piece of bread, it falls on the floor, butter side down, every time. If a cat is dropped from a window or other high and towering places, inevitably it lands on its feet. Do you agree with both of those? I have dropped, I don't know how many pieces of bread with butter, and this guy's right. They always fall down on the buttered side, and when you pick it up, you get little pieces of carpet that come back up in the butter. By the way, do you eat it? and the cat thing is true too. I mean, don't torture your animal, but if you toss your cat a little bit, they like that sometimes. They land on their feet. But now my faxer goes on, but what if you attach a buttered piece of bread, butter side up, to a cat's back and toss them both out the window? Will the cat land on its feet? Or will the butter splat on the ground? The secret of gravity revealed. And this, you want a little more interesting fodder. Art, first it was on Nightline, then on Dateline, and now in the January issue of Popular Mechanics, there's an article about mind control. Wonder what medium we'll hear about this very interesting subject next in. Matt, listening to the mighty 770. See, there's another one, big old clear channel monster in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Heard who knows where. But it's a good point, Matt. More and more articles in the mainstream press about mind control. Who knows? Maybe there is such a thing, and you've got to wonder if it is your mind that might be controlled. Are you a Clinton supporter? Just kidding. And finally this, from Carrie and Carol in Mesa, Arizona. Art, oh, it's Friday night, Saturday morning, and you're discussing outer space kinds of things. How about opening up the alien line? You haven't done it in a long, long time. Please, please, please. If groveling and begging would help, consider me groveling and begging. Some of the aliens out there might have some of the answers about the evolution of the solar system. Anyway, love you, Art. Please, the alien line tonight. Well, all right, I'll tell you what. This hour I'm devoting to international calls, if we can get them. Many as we can get. Next hour, first part, Paul Niskanen, and he'll be telling us about the trip. And then okay, I will do it. I will open the alien line. And for those that have never experienced the alien line, all I can say is prepare yourselves. Good morning. You're on the air, Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. Where are you calling from, please?
From the Arctic Circle.
You're at the Arctic Circle?
Well, we're 56 miles from the Arctic Circle, from Echo Bay Mines in 350 miles north of Yellowknife, Canada.
Wow. I say again, wow. That's quite a location. What do you do up there?
Well, is this Art Bell?
Yes.
Well, hello, Art.
Hi, sir.
We love your show.
Thank you.
We're doing a survey on the musk ox population up here.
Wait a minute. Hold it. On what population?
Musk ox.
I'm sorry.
Very stinky animal.
The big stinky animal?
Yeah, and...
What have you learned about this?
I can't believe I got through here.
You did. What have you learned about the big stinky animal up here?
Well, they stink. But also, we've learned an amazing thing. There is four of us sitting around a table here, drinking a bottle of Canadian Club, and we came to an amazing conclusion about the USA.
Well, when you have enough Canadian Club, that is possible. What have you concluded?
Well, your militia problem,
your
weather problem,
yes,
and your Clinton military policy problem are all directly related. Would you like me to elaborate on that?
Please. Connect
all
them.
Right.
Yes, connect them.
Okay. Up in Canada here, we have no militia as such. As everyone knows, we're kind of like spread thinner than paint on a Chevrolet, I guess.
Well, you know, why do you pick on Chevrolet?
Well, because they won't start up here.
This is not a positive American call so far.
We're having a problem getting them started up here.
All right.
At any rate, Art, oh, boy, now that I'm on the air, I'm all nervous. Anyway.
We got
the militia.
Yeah.
And we don't have the militia. And another thing we don't have up in Canada is massive loss of life.
No Arctic Circle Protection Force?
No, we don't have that. Well, we're kind of actually hoping you guys would be supplying that.
We don't have the militia,
and we don't have a massive loss of life or big city shutting down or mass hysteria whenever we get a couple feet of snow or some cold weather and stuff like that. So the four of us here.
I'm beginning to conclude this is a very anti-American call.
Well, no, it's not anti-American, but we're just kind of thinking that militia to us kind of means like strength in numbers, right? And being we're spread so thin apart, we can't get the groups together to have the militia. So we're basically we can't have them. So we don't have them, and the other thing we don't have is all this hysteria about the weather, which is, well, right now, let's see here, for example.
All right, how is the weather in the Arctic Circle?
All right, right now, this is in Canadian metric stuff, so, okay, it's minus 44 Celsius. So it's about, I guess that'd be 43 Fahrenheit, minus 43 Fahrenheit.
Minus 43 degrees, 43 degrees below zero.
We have a little wind about 35 kilometers an hour, which is about 20 miles per hour down there. And in the last 10 days or so, we've had 8 inches of snow per day, so we're up around 2 meters, which would be about 6 feet of snow, and it just seems to keep coming down. Mm-hmm. And it basically hasn't even stopped a school bus down up here yet, so we're not really too worried about the weather. But you have to dress for it.
How much, at this time of year, how much daylight are you getting every day?
It's basically dark. It's dark right now. In the summertime, though, it's very nice up here.
Wait a minute. Hold it. When you say basically dark, you mean dark 24 hours a day?
Yeah, it doesn't, well, it's not really, really totally dark. You can see the red horizon to the south of us.
that's as much light as you get, huh?
Yeah, and now, but in the summertime, we get nothing but daylight, so it's well worth it, I guess. We don't dare go outside, though, at this time of year. But anyway, these four drunken muskox counters here have come to the conclusion that, and here comes the anti-American part.
Yeah, I'm
okay.
Sure.
So we figure you guys are a little bit wimpy when you weather and that, right? And then the second part of the problem, or the, I don't know how to
come
put
on,
it.
Sir, lay it out.
All right, here we go. First off, we don't have any militias up here. Actually, in Canada, we don't have any militias at all. Even I'm from Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, Canada, which is fair way south from here, about 1,100 kilometers south of here. We don't have any militias there, and we still get some pretty bad weather, and we don't get the massive loss of life and the big city shutting down.
Yeah, you've said all this
like
now. You've said all this. Now, what are you building toward? In other words, you're glad.
Okay, hang on. I'm building slowly because I don't want you to cut me off.
Well, it's good. You're going to be if you don't get there.
Okay. Anyway, so we don't have militias, and we don't have hysterica over the weather.
Yeah.
Okay. And the other thing is, the Clinton, here comes, okay, we don't want to put your government down or anything, because us Canadians, we don't like to do that. But at any rate, your military is spread so thin right now that four of us, make that three of us, one of us looks like there's only three of us left here, are going to strap on our seal skin binding snowshoes as soon as your blizzard get bad and we finish this bottle of Canadian Club, and we're going to come down there and take over.
All right, thank you. Well, look, you couldn't do any worse than we're doing right now, so what the hell. Well, there was the first call from the International Line. That was a good one. Arctic Circle, huh? See, that's all they've got to do up there. Study stinking animals and drink Canadian Club and get smashed. I imagine they're listening to Como or KGA, one of the two, blasting easily into the Arctic Circle, I should have asked. The international line is area code 702-727-1222. And you're on the air coast to coast and with Art Bell. Hi.
Good morning. My name is Jim. I'm calling from Monterrey, Mexico.
Monterrey, Mexico.
Yeah.
Hi, Jim. How are you?
Fine. Thank you very much. I usually enjoy your show quite a bit.
Where is Monterrey?
Monterrey is just south of McAllen, Texas. You ever heard of McAllen?
Well, yes, of course.
I drive up to McAllen, Texas once a month or so, you know, to have some fun up there.
That's funny. A lot of Americans go to Mexico to have fun.
Well, not so many nowadays. Not as they used to, you know, 20, 30 years ago.
Tell me something. I visited Mazatlan, as you may have heard if you listened to the show.
Yeah, I was there about 6 months ago.
And the people I talked to in Mazatlan felt that a revolution would come in Mexico, that it was probably inevitable. What are your feelings about that?
It's quite a question. I've been living in Mexico for about 35 years now. The situation isn't really very good. I would say that at least 50% of Mexicans are in a very, very poor situation, close to starvation. It's pretty bad. But Mexicans are sort of a noble type, you know. They're not the fighting type.
Mm-hmm.
If this was a Europe or Argentina or something probably would be done about it. The big problem here is the two problems, actually, ignorance and corruption. You know, ignorance allows corruption, and that's the way it goes.
Well, I know there is a big problem with corruption in Mexico, so big that many of the people that we talked to said it simply will have to end, and they're very suspicious, of course, about the shootings that occurred prior to the election, and they said this is not going to last. There's going to be trouble. Would you generally agree or disagree?
That probably, if things don't change, there probably will be trouble, but not in the near future. Not in the near future.
If that should come, do you think there would be a rush, and I'm sure there would, of refugees leaving Mexico, trying to get away from it, and coming right across our border up here?
Some probably would. Actually, as far as I'm concerned, I have a lot of friends who have bank accounts in McAllen, Houston, and San Antonio, and this type of person would probably try to get across the border, you know.
It
wouldn't really create any problems for Americans because they come across the border just to spend their money.
All right, my friend.
Well, just be quiet a second. Let me listen.
Okay.
Yep, I'm hearing you.
Well,
not on the radio, on the phone.
Oh, yeah, I understand that. But, I mean, how were you able to hear us to know to call from Australia?
Well, the guys on the IRC chat channel told me that article.
Ah,
How you going?
So, in other words, it is an you are in Perth, but you got there by knowing about all this from the IRC chat channel.
Indeed, Art. It's Stanley here.
Yes, Stanley.
How are you?
Very well. How's everything down under?
Oh, just fine. I was clearing a space here on my desk for the CX computer and nothing else.
I understand. I'm in the same process right now. As a matter of fact, you'd be a fun person to experiment with. You know, we've got this a video telephone coming, and I'm going to be setting it up this weekend, and next week we're going to be experimenting, and it's going to mean even from Australia, you could download a little software, load it into your DX, call a certain number I'm going to give out, and see me in full moving color with sound coming out of your sound blaster over a regular phone line.
All right, I got to tell you something. This is sad, but I'm a Mac man.
Oh. Now this is deteriorating to the thin paint on Chevy's call.
Sorry about that. What are you talking about today?
Well, how's up? Actually, you know what? I'd like to ask you about the weather in Australia. It may sound mundane, but we're having what seems to be very weird, unusual, bizarre weather in America, both during this last summer and now our winter, your summer, I guess. And I would like to ask you if the weather is what you would consider normal down under.
Slightly different, I suppose, but I mean, over my part of the country, it's about as dry as ever. It was 108 degrees in the shade the other day.
Big time summertime. Do you know Stan Dale?
Pardon?
Do you know of a man named Stan Dale?
Me?
Oh, this is Stan Dale?
Yeah.
Oh, Stan.
Hey, Art, are you sick?
No, I've been fine. I didn't hear your name, I guess, at the...
Oh, this is embarrassing, Artichoke. What can
I say? It is embarrassing. Listen, then, I have another question for you there, Mr. Perth, and it is with respect to... I've got this big article about the rabbit virus.
Yeah.
And I want to ask you about that. But first, Stan, there was something else recently about... Well, let me go ahead and ask you first about the... Oh, I know, your email messages to me. I got one in which you said, look out down near Indonesia,
yep.
And off New York, I think you said, and then you sent me a second fax, and so I decided not to read the first fax.
Yeah, I understand that, and for good reason. Just as we saw all this activity brewing in the north of us on our naval charts, the U.S. Navy that very day changed the color coding on the charts and screwed up the whole process so we couldn't see it for 2 or 3 days.
Ah.
They didn't do this on purpose, I don't think.
Well, Stan, it was very close because I almost read your first fax on the air and I just barely got, the email, and I just barely got the second one in time.
Well, it may still be valid, but I wanted to double check because when the Navy expanded the color range on their charts, they did it so that they could take wilder fluctuations of temperature than we've been having.
Mm.
They upgraded it.
Mm.
Now, to us, what happens is when I try to subtract images from last week from this week, it doesn't work because the colors don't match anymore by number. So we've had to wait 3 days and then reload it, or at least three charts. And I still see that we have troubles in Indonesia right up through the Philippines into northwest Australia. A severe earthquake warning is all I can say. I'm just looking over. Iceland may have a couple of small ones. New York is still under the threat. Southern California, Oregon, Mexico is probably the worst in the northern hemisphere.
Boy.
Guatemala's got one brewing between it and Mexico border.
All right. Well, look, the moment it becomes clear to you and you feel like making a definitive guess.
Yep.
Email me right away and I'll get it on the air for everybody. All right, now I want to jump topics.
All right.
I've got an article here entitled Outbreak in the Outback. And it quotes an OSU researcher. I guess they had this rabbit virus, a hemorrhagic fever type rabbit virus, they released on a little island. And they don't know how, but it got loose. And now it's killing rabbits all across, or beginning to spread all across Australia and kill all the rabbits, 95%, they think maybe even 100%, before it's over. And the scientist, Dr. Al Smith, says the following, quote, "The worry would be the rabbit virus might jump hosts. If it did, it would be a disaster," end quote. What are you all hearing about that down there?
Well, I haven't seen a lot about it in the news or anything. Rabbit viruses are kind of old news down here because we used to have what's called myxomatosis, which was another genetic virus they put out to kill the rabbits.
Right.
We have millions and millions of rabbits in the outback, and they try to get rid of them as a plague.
Right. Oh, I understand.
To be honest, I haven't picked up a newspaper in a few weeks. I've been kind of busy doing some other things. But I haven't seen it on the news breaks on the television, any mention about the virus. So I'll pay closer attention. If I find out something, I'll tell you.
I would very, very much appreciate that. Maybe the next time we talk, you will have found out something, because it is definitely going on. But I'll tell you.
Is that why I'm getting these funny nosebleeds?
Are you getting funny nosebleeds?
Yeah. My son and I have both been developing for some reason over the last couple of weeks.
Hmm.
If you don't hear from me, it's the fever.
The hemorrhagic fever, the first human host to be jumped to would be Stan Deo. All right, Stan, see what you can find out. Keep us updated, and I will, of course, as you know, once you send me a definitive PC email, I'll get it on the air right away.
Thanks, Art. Take care.
Thank you, my friend. That's Stan Deo in Perth, Australia, taking advantage of the international line. Cool. You're on the air, coast to coast, AM with Art Bell. Good morning.
Good morning, Art. How are you?
Fine. Where are you?
I'm calling from Winnipeg Beach, Manitoba.
Winnipeg Beach?
Yeah, it's about 60 miles north of Winnipeg.
Well, cool.
And I'm picking you up on WJR Detroit.
It's a big one.
Yeah, and I got that Zenith Transoceanic Radio.
Oh, you've got one?
Yeah, I bought it for $50 at a garage sale about 6 years ago.
Is it the tube or transistor model?
It's a transistor.
Transistor.
I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah, that was one of the later ones. The earlier ones used tubes.
I think I've never really opened it up.
You can open the back and you can look in there and you'll see right away tubes or not.
Yeah. Okay. And the reason I'm calling too is I was wondering if, like, I listen to you quite a bit for when I'm in. When I live in Winnipeg, I'm at the cabin
mm-hmm.
right now, and
yes.
I'm ice fishing, smoking some gold eyes. And I was wondering, I was listening to you the other night about San Diego, about those UFOs or whatever.
Yes.
Is there any more information on that?
Well, there were a number of people eaten,
right?
Oh, yeah, in La Jolla residence. All they found was shoes and socks.
Oh, yeah. Oh, geez, that would have been nice, eh?
I'm kidding. There were reports of widely across San Diego of a sonic boom, and then somebody who saw something that he described about as the size of a bus.
Mm-hmm.
So
I know, I heard, yeah, that's what I was listening to. See, one of our affiliates in Winnipeg, we pick you up on Dreamland, and that's the only time we pick you up.
Oh, that's right, that's right. They carry Dreamland, okay.
Yeah, on Fox, or 1290, yeah, Winnipeg does. And then we don't get you coast to coast, though, at all. I usually pick you up from KSTP Minneapolis.
Yeah, you know why that is? It's mm-hmm. because, for some reason, Canadian stations are afraid of American politics.
Oh, yeah.
And so they shy away from it. But my show is so, kind of eclectic that I really think a number of Canadian stations would want to begin to reconsider. And we might have the one show that really would play very well in Canada.
Oh, yes, definitely. I know lots of people that listen to Dreamland because there is a lot of UFO sightings around here. Like, I don't know, sightings will have the one in Lockport where, like, Lockport's about 30 miles north of Winnipeg, and there in July in the summer, like, the whole town saw it. It was like about 200 feet in the air.
See, and here we go again.
Did you hear about that one?
No, but I hear about similar things all the time. Not singular sightings. Way to the south of you, past us in Mexico, hundreds of thousands of people are seeing UFOs on a daily basis. And so, you know, there's something going on.
No, and most definitely. Like, I'm out here, like, it's 40 below. I'm here, like, I come out to the cabin on the weekends. I don't have a TV. I just have the Zenith radio. And I bought that just to listen to hockey games, like I listen to Detroit Red Wings, St. Louis Blues hockey games or whatever. In my spare time, and yourself, of course. And it's a good radio to have. I hear about this new one you have. I can't see it being better than the Zenith.
It is.
It is, eh?
Well, sure. There's been a lot of advance since the day of the Zenith, sir.
Yeah.
It was, of its time, the classic radio. But, you know, there's new transistor devices that are far by magnitudes more sensitive and selective.
Actually, yeah, this radio has 8 tubes in it.
You've got one of the really old ones.
Yeah, all right. I think it's a 1948.
That'd be about right. I've got to run.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you very much for the call. My international line. Now, I want people way out there. Give me somebody in the Pacific. I want somebody on Johnson Island or on the island of Okinawa or Japan or China or Guam or Tahiti. I wish they could get through from Tahiti. I really, really would like to get a call from Tahiti. So what about it? International, 702-727-1222. That's area code 702-727-1222. On our international line, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, Art.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Where are you?
I'm from Longyear, Spitsbergen.
Which is where?
It's about 150 miles north of Norway.
Wow. And how are you managing to hear us that far away?
I don't really know.
Do you know about where on the dial you're hearing it?
It's in the high ranges. I'm not sure. Around 1,100, I think.
That could be, if it's a 1,000, yes, it could be KOMO. In Seattle, and they go north, and they go right over the pole.
Well, that very well could be, with something to do with the atmosphere and bouncing it off.
Oh, no, it definitely occurs, and from Seattle, you've got a good shot up across pole, so that could easily be. And are you an American?
Yes, I am.
And what are you doing there?
Well, I'm here with my parents.
Ah, vacation?
No, my dad's geothermal, I forget the rest of it.
A geothermal something, huh?
Yeah, he goes around to the oil fields
here,
and I think he surveys them. I'm not really sure.
And so what do you do there?
Well, pretty much nothing.
Pretty much nothing, huh?
There's lots of cross-country skiing here.
Yeah, I'll bet there is.
Tons of snow.
And yeah, I'm sure. How long are you going to be there?
Not too much longer. We're going back to America in a little bit, in a couple of months, I think.
All right. Well, we're glad you were able to hear us and glad to be able to keep a line open so you could get through.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, and take care. And more international in a moment. And now back to my international line. You're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, hi, Art. This is John. I'm calling you from Ensenada, Mexico.
Hi, John.
And we're hearing you on Kogo.
Kogo?
Yeah.
I'll bet, yes. They go south quite nicely from San Diego.
Yeah, what I wanted to call you about, although I live in Mexico, I work in Trinidad. And for those of your listeners who don't know where Trinidad is, that's at the south end of the West Indies chain, just north of the north coast of South America.
Yes, sir.
Before I go on to what I wanted to tell you about, there's something that happened to me recently. You mentioned that you are heard in South America, and I'm wondering if there's any way I can pick you up in Trinidad.
Yes.
Is that a short wave station?
No. Try 1200 on the dial from San Antonio. It just goes firing down there.
Okay, 1200 on the dial.
Yes, sir.
Give that a try. Okay, the reason I'm calling you, I'm captain of a seismic survey vessel. We've been doing some seismic work off the east coast of Trinidad.
Oh.
For the Trinidad oil monopoly. It's called PetroTrin.
Yes, sir.
And there's a consortium of oil companies that fund this. The vessel is American-owned. I'm not going to mention the name of the company.
All right.
The seismic team, oddly enough, from your last call, is Norwegian. That is the people who run the computers and the actual seismic survey.
Right.
So we were... This occurred on the 28th of December at about 17:30 local time in Trinidad. We were doing a transect heading essentially west, going back toward the island of Trinidad. About 30 miles offshore, the water depth was about 120 to 130 meters at that point.
Right.
We tow an array. The furthest from the vessel is 3.5 miles behind us. There's an array of seven objects, four of which are the transponders that send the signal. Those are operated by compressed air, and then there's three that are the receivers.
And what is the object of these? In other words, you're
It sends a shock down. In other words, they used to use explosives in the old days. Now we use compressed air.
Yes, sir.
It sends a shock wave down, and that is then reflected from the subsurface strata back up to the receivers, and then that signal comes up the wire to the computers.
And you're able to map it.
And they get a picture, yeah.
All right, we don't have a lot of time here, so what did you find, or what happened?
Yeah, okay, well, just forward of that, about a mile forward of that, we tow a thermistor V-fin, which takes a continuous reading of salinity, temperature, and depth so that the computers can make sure that the sonic signal is accurate. And forward of that, we have a side-scan sonar, which takes a side picture of the, so that you get a contour of the bottom.
We've got about 30 seconds.
Right, okay, so we're towing this, and the thermistor V-fin, an alarm went off, and the thermistor V-fin came flipping up to the surface. So the scientists came running up from the computer room, and that time the array went over this spot.
Okay, listen to me. Can you hold through the news? That's all I can do. I've got news. I've got to go to it. I want to hear the rest.
I understand. Okay.
I want to hear the...
In Trinidad. Well, off the east coast of Trinidad.
East coast of Trinidad.
Right.
And you were dragging these devices behind you, measuring things, and when we left off, something you said popped up, and I didn't get what that was.
Yeah, it's called a thermistor V-fin. It looks like it's a big fiberglass thing about 8 feet wide. It looks kind of like a big yellow fiberglass kite, and it flies under the water, taking a continuous measuring of salinity, temperature, and depth, and that information is sent up to calibrate the computer so that the sound signal that we send down sends up accurate information. Anyway, this thing came flipping up to the surface with all kinds of alarms going off, and everybody ran up on the bridge. I happened to be on watch at this time. I just relieved the mate, and it was just getting dark. The sun had set, and it was starting to get dark. So we were moving at about 3.5 knots, towing all this stuff.
Right.
And about the time that the array of transponders, I should say, passed over the place where the thermistor had come up, the whole sea lit up back there.
Wow.
You know, like a bright white light shining in the sea.
Yes, sir.
So there was some cloud cover at the time, and there were like beams, almost like you would think a searchlight was shining up out of the sea, because you could see it reflected on the clouds. So I looked in the radar, and I was, you know, monitoring this place on the radar as we continued on, because you can't turn or stop or anything when you're towing all this stuff.
Right.
And meantime, they're trying to reel in the thermistor V-fin and, you know, get it back on board to see what happened. And a target appeared on the radar, which at that time was about 4 miles behind us, so about a mile behind the array we were towing. And it was a big target. It looked, you know, like it, almost the size of a supertanker would show up at that distance on our radar.
Yes.
And we continued our transect. We hauled in the thermistor V-fin, and it was mashed. It had hit something really solid. Now, the bottom there is pretty muddy, and the thermistor V-fin is anyway, you know, kept well off the bottom, so there's really no chance that it hit anything on the bottom.
What do you think you encountered?
Well, that's a good question. About then, it occurred to somebody to look at the side-scan sonar trace.
Right.
So they tracked it back to the time that, just before the, because it would have passed over whatever it was first. You know, it's the first thing in our array. And it showed on our starboard side a large metallic object. Well, at least you can't be sure it's metallic, but it was a strong echo. So, you know, it was either rock or metallic, and there are no rocks there. And this side-scan sonar throws a signal out sideways on both sides. It doesn't
right.
show anything directly underneath.
I understand.
And this object was separated from the seabed. So, it could have been a submarine, okay? Maybe the thermistor V-fin hit a submarine. But this thing that came up on our radar was really big. It was a lot bigger than any submarine that I've ever heard of. And I never heard of a submarine that had searchlights or lights or anything that shone up into the sky like that. So
something very, very large came up out of the sea.
Yeah, I would, it would be in the class of a VLCC, a very large crude carrier, that size of vessel or that size of target.
All right, I've got to move on here, but I want to know, how did you lose it or how did it disappear?
Well, the target remained on the radar for about 20 minutes as we were, continuing to track west, and then it just, faded out or disappeared. I don't know whether the thing submerged or went off somewhere, but in any case, we didn't pick it up on the radar. And, we turn around and go back, and we do a sort of zigzag transect all along that area. And we didn't encounter anything like that again. So
well,
I guess
sounds
my question for anybody else that's listening is any other mariner
similar.
Or anyone encountered any similar experience where they've seen lights come up out of the sea like that?
We'll call it an unidentified submerged object.
I guess so,
A USO. Captain, thank you.
Okay.
You take care, my friend. Well, whoa, there's a story for you. Holy mackerel. And now to open up this hour of lunacy, or not, I offer you the following. Now, I have been begged to open what I call the alien line, and so I hereby do so, but it is going to not be, it's going to be a two-purpose line. Listen to this fact. Art, I called about a week ago. I am the immortal that closed your show. I'd like to explain how I have stayed alive for such a long time, and how your listeners can do it too. Quickly, I've been around because my soul, listen to this, my soul can inhabit other people's bodies. When I enter a body, it's by mutual agreement between me and the person. The two souls kind of bond. I found this out by accident. I'm not an expert. And I leave the body when it physically dies. Guess my soul is basically a composition of my living soul and a bunch of other souls that cooperate to animate different bodies. So this is just one of many, many, many similar type faxes that I have had from people who claim they are immortal. And I do not totally discount these people. So, therefore, I hereby open our immortal / alien line. Now, when I say alien, I mean not somebody up here from Mexico taking American jobs, or not an American down in Mexico vacationing and spending money in a foreign country. I mean somebody from another planet, another solar system, possibly one of the... to give a little credence to this, scientists this week have announced they have discovered at 35 light years two planets capable, they believe, of sustaining life. Their words, folks, not mine. And couple with that, the announcement by NBC, quoting NASA sources as saying later today, the Galileo information will be released, and that it may challenge all our concepts about how our system was formed. And you've got a good night to open the alien slash immortal line. So, if you are an alien from another dimension, another planet, or a less, more than, I guess I should say, more than mortal human being, as in immortal, one line is now reserved hereby for you. Now, I should tell you that casual, weird, or bizarre-sounding, fakey-sounding aliens get short shrift. Fakey-sounding immortals get short shrift. Credible, articulate aliens and immortals get a longer shrift. So, if that's you, I hereby open that line. Now, east of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello, Art. Gary of St. Joseph again. How are you?
I'm fine, Gary.
A couple of things. Well, I want to been meaning to ask you a question.
Sure.
BBC, what frequency and what time?
BBC?
Mm-hmm, the BBC.
Many frequencies and many times, either day or night, you can always get the BBC one way or the other. But I'm sorry, I don't have a list in front of me.
Well,
you can get a publication called Handbook to World Band Radio. I've got it in the other room.
Right.
And it'll guide you right to the BBC.
Okay, you know, we was talking yesterday about the weather patterns, and I started to theorize about that, and then we got off to another track. You know, years ago they talked about the Earth moving closer to the sun at the rate of approximately 1 inch a year. And here recently they talk about how the Earth is slowing in its speed around the orbit of, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's right.
Sun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, that means we're slowing down, we're spinning into the sun, and our greenhouse effect is getting worse, they say, and the weather patterns are getting more violent.
Yeah, but there is a timetable here. I mean, we're not going to exactly spin into the sun by next Saturday.
Oh, no, but what I'm saying is, you know, this is all happening at a gradual rate, and...
However.
Keep it on, keep it on. Look at Venus.
However, life, as we know it, is fragile, and it would not take, according to the scientists, very many degrees of change one way or the other.
Not much at all.
To make it... Well, I mean, the Earth would be here for a long, long time.
Well, they're talking about the sperm counts going down.
Oh, listen, I've got the New Yorker article on that, and it's absolutely true. And they say sperm counts may go down to zero in a generation, in one lifetime. Now,
that's amazing.
That's amazing. I mean, that's just such an incredible story. And why isn't it on the major networks?
Well, they don't want us to know about that. They don't want to do anything that's going to cause panic. And one other thing right quick before I go.
Yeah.
You had yesterday a guy called from Japan, said it was 8:30 in the morning.
Was that Japan? Sure that was Japan. Well, yes.
Well, that would, by my calculations, that would have put him 3 hours east of me somewhere in the western Atlantic Ocean.
I see. All right, thank you. I don't think that was Japan. I think that was... that might have been Norway. I'm not sure. I can't remember. And I'm you know, it's you got to remember, it's like 15 hours or something. On my alien line, I guess it's alien immortal line, you're on the air. Hello there. Are you an alien or an immortal?
An alien.
An alien. From what star system do you emanate?
Well, I'm from two galaxies away from this system.
Two galaxies away.
Yes, and I've been stranded here since 1966, your time.
It must have been an odd time to come here, the 60s. They were pretty freewheeling, so it must have been quite a culture shock from two galaxies. I'm kind of curious, why are you here? You're stranded, you say?
I'm a scientist and what you would refer to as a doctor here.
And a doctor?
Yes.
Well, you now have an opportunity to address, as you can be well aware, much of the world, actually, on this program. So what message do you have for us mere mortals and the immortals?
Well, as soon as you stop experimenting on animals and start experimenting on humans, almost all your medical problems will be cured.
Really?
Well, that's correct, yes. You're wasting your time with the animals. I mean, the animals are virtually not really like the humans. In some ways, there are similarities, but in other ways, they're it's a waste of time. And you've actually gone backwards, what you call, in years, several hundred years, you know. I mean, you could have had a lot of things cured by now. If you would have been experimenting on
in Earth years, how old are you?
I would say that I'm about your age, about 50.
50?
That's correct.
Are you, as we are, mortal? Will you die?
Oh yes. And
with about the same lifespan?
A little bit longer, not much, but a little bit longer.
A little bit longer. Coming from a couple of galaxies away, we would all be interested in how you manage that, considering that we feel we are limited by the speed of light.
Well, we use what I'm sure we've advanced as you have advanced, but we use electromagnetic craft.
I had a feeling that was going to be your answer. All right, well, thank you very, very much, and his message seemed to have to do with animals. Very interesting. All right, well, the alien and or immortal line remains open at area code 702-727-1222, and here we go again. You're on the air. Hello.
Hi.
What have we got here, an immortal or an alien?
An alien.
An alien.
Yeah.
And where are you from?
What system am I from?
Yes.
I'm from the possibly the Zeta Reticula star system.
What do you mean, possibly? Now turn your radio off. Even aliens have to turn off their radio, please.
Okay.
Zeta Reticula. Why possibly from that? I mean, why are you not sure?
I just have a really strong feeling that I'm one of them.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you just sort of, you have sort of a feeling that you're an alien. You're not sure.
No, I'm not. I don't really know.
All right, well, then I have to disqualify you immediately. People, only people who are sure they're aliens should call. People who only think they might be aliens shouldn't call. I mean, you know, if we're going to spend broadcast time here, it's got to be for the real thing. And it's not like you can maybe be from Zeta Reticuli. You've got to be from there. You know, or it's not worth spending time on. On my alien line, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, hi. Well, I'm an immortal, not an alien.
Oh, that's fine. Well, no, it's a slash immortal line, and I'm glad to have an immortal, finally. Would you care to tell us what region of the country you're in?
Yes, I'm in California.
California. Immortal in California. There's living hell. How long have you been alive?
Only 35 years so far.
Actual years?
Yeah, Earth years.
Well then, you know, I hate to ask this, but I've got to. I mean, how can you know at 35 that you're immortal?
Okay, well, there's certainly no certainty, because my brain could be mashed tomorrow, but...
Yeah, okay, aside from your being turned into mush on the highway or
right.
something.
Well, I'm signed up for chronic, so... I will be frozen before the information goes away.
Oh, but that doesn't mean you're immortal, because they don't know for sure, and there's freezer burn.
No, they don't know for sure, but there's a technology progresses to the point where we will have medical technology.
See, but you're disappointing me, because now you're hoping to be frozen, and that's all fine and well, but you're not obviously a certified immortal at 35.
No. That's something you have to work up to.
Taking advantage of my line here, sir. All right, thank you very much for the call, but I'm rejecting you two. See, now what's the matter with you people? 35 years old. You can't say you're immortal at 35 years old. Just because you have plans to be frozen like a steak. That's, you know, that's a wish and a hope. And there's something about if wishes were fishes, we'd all be casting nets, right? So at 35, you're no immortal, sir. You're just sort of trying to get in on that line. Come on, I want genuine immortals. Genuine aliens, that's all I want on that line. I demand the real thing. Or at least it damn well better sound. You're on the air, sir. Hello.
Yes, sir.
Would you care to tell us roughly where you're calling from or not?
The state of Nevada.
The state of Nevada.
Yes.
Here in the same state I'm in.
Absolutely.
And you claim to be how old?
1,000 years.
1,000 years old. 1,000 years old. So you've seen a lot.
Quite a bit, actually.
You know, what I really want to know is, and I'm sure I asked you this before, but you're going to have to, I sound like Johnny Cochran, refresh my memory. What is it that made you immortal, do you know?
It was being visited.
Visited?
Visited, yes.
By?
Extraterrestrials.
And why, is this an offer they made you, or did they strap you down like in a thing and stick a big needle in your ear?
Nothing like that at all whatsoever. Actually visited and then taken and returned.
But what I'm asking is, was it voluntary, or did they just do this to you?
It was a complete preset.
I don't know what that means.
It was a preset assignment.
I know, but...
Completely agreeable, absolutely.
Oh, I see. So it was volunteer.
Pardon me?
You're a volunteer, in other words.
Not a volunteer. It was preset. Predesigned and preset.
Predestined.
Absolutely.
I see.
Souls do have presetness, a predestination. Absolutely. There's many souls that are upon this planet, or personalities themselves with forces that are from the stars.
Well, what I really want to know is... Is it cool to be immortal, or is it tiresome?
It's not cool and it's not tiresome. It's very dangerous.
Dangerous?
Yes, it's very dangerous.
Why?
Many, many trials and many, many tribulations. There's much that anybody that's an immortal has to represent for humanity itself and the spirit of mankind.
Well, you have an opportunity here to speak to the rest of mortal mankind.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. If you would allow me, I have something to be able to prove and be able to help the people to get to them that will come to pass, if you would allow me.
Do it.
Okay. It has to do with HARP.
The Project HARP, yes.
Project HARP, yes. Sir, allow me, when I say this, these two things, I'm going to get off the line very quickly.
That's fine. Say it.
What the people are going to witness is the plague, the detrimental plague, that takes place, happens in southern New York. It comes from Manhattan Island.
Oh.
It will appear as a radiation cloud that is caused by HARP itself.
Can you give us any sort of dates when you feel this will occur? I mean, that is important, after all, timing.
It will happen just before the Great Storm on the East Coast.
Holy mackerel.
The Great Storm.
So in other
words, have the sign itself of an earthquake that follows a line from central United States coming up through Michigan, right straight to Manhattan.
To Manhattan?
Yes, the great storm comes after because of the radiation cloud.
Well, that's awful because there are the radiation cloud?
This is the bringing up a plague.
Plague?
A plague.
This is sounding worse by the second.
Well, everything has been worse up till now. We haven't seen nothing yet.
So, you don't plan on going east, I take it?
Well, I am from the north, sir. The far north.
I would say stay right there. Thank you very much. There we have it, ladies and gentlemen, an immortal. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hello, Arthur.
Yes, hi.
How are you doing?
Well, if you're listening, you know.
I'm not an immortal, but I was married to one for a couple of years.
Now, how do you know that?
Well... When I was about 14, I had a dream, or I don't know whether it was a dream or what. But my father always was a carny wannabe. So the carnival come to town, we always went. one day we went to this carnival, and there was this girl on this dais on the midway.
She was on the what?
On a dais. It was like about 3 feet off the ground.
Oh, yes, I see. Okay.
And not doing anything, but she had brilliant red shoes, brilliant red lipstick, long auburn hair, and a leather beret in her hair.
Sounds good.
All right. About 35 years later, I was in a discussion group in Phoenix, Arizona. It wasn't very productive, so I was just getting ready to leave.
Yeah.
The doorbell rang. The hostess opened the door. There was the girl. The red shoes, the red lipstick, and the leather beret.
The whole thing, huh?
Right.
Yeah, but that's only 2 years, right? A couple years later?
No, that's 35 years later.
Oh, my God, 35 years later.
Right.
How can you be sure it was the same?
Well, it looked exactly the same. So I made a date with her, and about 6 weeks later, we were married.
Fast courtship.
Yeah. So it didn't last all that long, and we got divorced. And 13 years later, I was working in Laughlin, Nevada. You know where that is.
I sure do, yes.
Yeah, I was working security there at the Loser's Lounge. And in comes this girl with her daughter. But at the time I was married to her, was 11 years old. Now she's 24. She looks like her daughter's sister. She hadn't aged a day since the last time I saw her.
Wow.
She had an escort that was about 25 years old.
How old are you now?
I am 65 now.
65. And when you first met her?
She said she was 41. She looked like she was 22. And she didn't look a day older the last time I saw her.
I wonder what number of husband you were.
I have no idea. I think I was, she told me number two, but I kind of doubt that.
There may have been a couple of zeros after that.
Right. And I know you have an eye for a pretty woman. She is the most gorgeous woman I've ever met.
Really? That's a hell of a story.
And
now, do you think that was your daughter?
No, she was...
Not the woman you married. I'm saying you saw her later then with...
her daughter, at the time we were married, her daughter was 11 years old. And the last time I saw her was 13 years later.
Her
daughter was 24.
All right, well, look, now, an obvious question is, I mean, at some point, you had to be curious and you had to ask her. Didn't you?
Well, no, I never thought about it until you start talking about immortal.
Oh, come on now. I mean, after all those years and she still looks the same, how could you not think about it?
Well, the only time I thought about it, we would go to a carnival, you know, where they get your weight and your age. She would always mystify him with her age, and I'm a big man, and I would always mystify him with my weight, because they guess me 185, I'm 210.
Hmm. All right, sir, well, I appreciate the call. That's kind of an intriguing story. I don't know why, but I believe it. See, there's something to this immortality business. I don't know what, but something to it. On our immortal/alien line, you're on the air.
Hi there. How you doing?
I'm all right.
What do you think I am?
Straining your voice?
No, not really.
Well, I don't know
I'm an alien.
Are you an alien?
You want to call me that.
Oh, well, all right. We'll see. Let's see you earn the title. Where are you from?
Why are you so curious about us?
Well, I don't know. It's a natural kind of curiosity. I've always been curious about these sorts of things. It's my nature.
We're demons, you know that.
Demons?
Yes, we have raided your planet for hundreds of years.
You mean you're from the devil? Is that what you're saying?
Perhaps.
No. Now you're sounding like a guy who might be from Zeta Reticuli. Either you are or you are not from the devil. You said.
Have you seen the cattle mutilations? Have you seen all
the... Yes, I've seen a lot of the photographs of them, yes.
You have this technology.
Are you a cattle mutilator?
What do you think?
I think you are. You sound like a cattle mutilator to me.
We're right outside your area, too.
It figures. So's everything else.
Your geo doesn't look very good either.
Yeah, well, you think you scare me with that? You don't scare me with that. Everybody's outside my area. I got things flying in the sky here that make you look like nothing.
We could increase your efficiency on your geo.
You can increase the efficiency on my Geo?
Yes.
It already does 60 miles to the gallon. Not light years, but...
You are very remote. All you humans are.
All right, thank you. I detect that if you were to continue with that, your voice would suddenly fail and your throat would constrict and we'd have a medical emergency. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Oh, wow. Hey.
Hello.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
Sorry to bother you.
Sorry to bother me?
Well...
I'm a talk show host. I need calls. Why would you be bothering me to call me?
Oh, I want to talk to you about these immortal people.
What do you want to say about them?
They're fakes.
How do you know?
Well, my name is John.
Okay.
And I'm about 2,000 years old.
You mean you're the real thing and they're the fakes?
Yeah.
All right, John. You really ought to be on my immortal line, not on this line, but I'm intrigued.
Well...
2,000 years. In other words, you were born about the time of Christ, somewhere around there.
Well, knew him.
You knew Christ?
Yeah. That's,
That's really something.
Yeah, I'm kind of ashamed to be calling, as a matter of fact.
Why?
Well, I... See, the thing is all about faith and love, and I really, well, you know, if somebody who actually knew him were to make himself known and were to call and were to, I mean, if I were to actually make myself known, you see, then, you know, there, I mean, what would be the point of faith? You see what I'm saying?
Not fully.
Well...
In other words, you said you saw Christ, or knew Christ, you said, and if that is true, that would tend to affirm faith, unless you're going to come here and you're trying to tell us that Christ was just another guy.
No.
What are you saying, then?
What am I saying? I'm saying that if you knew who I was...
Yes.
And if you know who I am,
yes,
then you would know that Christ was a real man who was the Son of God and who rose from the dead.
Yeah. So
anyway, really, I'm,
By what means are you immortal?
By what means am I immortal?
That's the
By
question.
The will of God.
By the will of God?
Yes.
Why has God chosen to make you immortal, do you think, while leaving the rest of us mortal?
Well, because I asked him.
You asked him?
Yeah.
Back then?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's, I suppose, a reasonable answer. Is it a burden or to be immortal, or is it a blessing?
It's a long time.
Yeah, I know that.
it is a blessing because I can do God's work. I can spread the word. But
what about this last guy with the voice that sounded like was about to seize up, who said that he was a devil?
Oh, please.
Please what? In other words, you thought that was a big fake, but you're the real thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, we'll let the audience judge that. Thank you very much. Personally, I think that was a born-again Christian feeding us the normal line of all things that are paranormal are from the devil. That would have been my guess, but he didn't ask me. We'll be right back. And right now we'll go east of the Rockies. You're on the air. Hello.
Hi there, Art. Sorry. Okay.
Why? What are you sorry about?
Oh, I had my radio on. I was listening to you on the phone at the same time.
I see. That is worth an apology.
Okay, and I'm all turned down now.
Good.
Okay.
Where are you?
I'm calling from Fremont, California.
Okay.
Name is Stephen.
Uh-oh.
I hope I'm not one of the Stevens thought to be out coming to get everybody.
Well, maybe you're not. Maybe you are, but certainly we couldn't expect you to admit it if you were, so what's the point of even asking, I guess?
Okay. All right. Let's see. Well, boy, I have so much to tell you. One thing I wanted to ask you was, what is the, how do you get onto the IRC chat channel?
I'm sorry you asked that. There is, somebody will call and they will give you the address. I don't happen to have it handy. There is a chat channel ongoing on the internet when I'm on the air talking about my show, probably blasting me from here to Kingdom Come. Who knows?
Oh, okay, so you have to have the, okay, I'm not equipped.
You just, okay. Oh, you don't have a computer?
No.
Oh, well, then you're out of luck anyway.
I'm out of luck. Okay, all right. I was the one that called before and I told you the story about the bird that laid the egg in my hand.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
that was a totally cool story.
Yeah, I thought I had some other interesting stories, but
you're never going to top that one.
Boy, I don't think so. I don't think so. But you know, I'd like to. Are you playing it, Sinelli? Are you playing Truth or Trash lately?
Well,
or have you done away?
No,
with
no,
it?
No, no, no. Oh, no, I played it last week.
Oh, okay, all right.
I don't do away with anything. Sometimes things go into hibernation for a while, and because I don't feel like doing them, and then all of a sudden somebody calls and says, oh, please do this, and I say, yeah, sounds like fun. So, you know, when the mood strikes.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
All right, well, listen, I got to run.
Okay, all right, I'll call you back another time then.
All right, thank you very much. Take care. On my alien/immortal line, you're on the air.
Hey, Art.
Hello.
Yeah, I'm immortal.
You're immortal?
Yeah.
How long have you been alive?
Well, I've been traveling here and there, bouncing back and forth for at least as long as time itself. I don't really recall the period before that.
Well, then, that is very impressive indeed. Time itself, many of us want to know when time actually began. Hard question, huh?
It's a hard question.
But you're the only one who'd be qualified to answer it.
No, that's not true at all.
No?
No.
Well, then...
I would say you've probably received other calls from other entities that would be qualified to answer that question.
Well, okay, then why can't you answer the question? In other words, your statement was, I've been around since time began. That's a long time.
Yeah, but see, I don't really stay within the boundaries of this time. I travel to other boundaries of other times.
Oh. So, you really can't, you're saying you can't judge it in what we measure in years.
There is no time.
Now you're confusing me. There is no time.
Not as you look at it, not to us. We are the entities that visit you. We're coming from the same place. Extraterrestrials is just a name that's been put on the latest formation of how certain entities among the creatures that dwell in the beyond, they've taken that form and it's been placed on them by humans. That's nothing new. And it's
okay,
not extraterrestrial.
All right, all right. Well, extraterrestrial, terrestrial, timeless... this is your big opportunity to give a message to all of us who inhabit this planet, who are not immortal, haven't been here since time began. What do you want to say to everybody?
I would have to say that humans need to look back towards the people that knew how to journey and to make allies in the beyond and had certain ways of dealing with the...
They are welcome, of course, to time shift it, as opposed to shape shifting. They can record it and play it back at their leisure, and at least you get to hear it one way or the other. It is a fascinating program. On my alien immortal line, you're on the air. Would you be an alien or an immortal?
Well, I have the unique distinction of being both immortal and alien.
Wow.
It's kind of an interesting scenario.
It's hard to know. It's hard to know where to start.
I'll start on the alien part is I have a very unearthly urge to call late night talk shows and explain my alien nature. And
well,
as a mortal, as far as
right place.
I have an unending beyond all time and space to continually, as most people in the human race is, to make up stories, and that's also an immortal.
In other words, you are a congenital liar.
That's also immortal.
A timeless, immortal congenital liar.
And also alien too, because it's
well,
almost,
look,
it's not
look,
of this earth.
You already blew it, Seth. You're gone. You've blown it because if you are an admitted immortal congenital liar, then anything else you have to say is not worth listening to. And I might add that that applies to a number of mortals, which will go unnamed at this moment as well. Wildcard Line, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, Art. I'm not on your alien line, but...
No, that's true, you're not.
But I am an alien.
Then you're out of here. Look, the alien line is the alien line. The rest of the lines are the rest of the lines. You know what the alien line number is. Aliens got to follow the rules in this program just like Earthlings. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning, Art.
Good morning.
Tim in Cahaw Country.
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to check with you. Did you hear about the 5.8 earthquake off the coast of Peru?
Really?
Really.
When?
This afternoon at, it was 10.4 degrees south and 78.8 degrees west, 35.7 kilometers.
5.8. Well, it's not in the predicted range of magnitude. Nevertheless,
it bears watching.
Yes, sir. I would say it sure does. That's not good. So,
quick question. Years ago, did you ever interview Vladimir Posner?
No, I wanted to.
You wanted to, but you never did.
I never did.
Okay.
That was Ray. Ray Bream, I think, had a pretty good relationship with Mr. Posner, and interviewed him ongoing for a number of years, and I never did get the opportunity, but I would enjoy that.
Well, I was traveling across country one evening about 7-8 years ago, and listening to a talk show, and there was a gentleman that was interviewing him, and I've only listened to you for about a year that I know of.
Pretty good chance that was Ray Bream, and for a short period of time, I really don't know how long, Ray was syndicated from KABC, and then that ended. So I bet that's what you heard.
Could have been, but I just thought, well, maybe I had stumbled across you earlier than a year ago, but... I had just forgotten, and I remembered that interview.
Well, I've been around for a while. I've been doing this for about almost 12 years, this particular show, but not on all these stations. So anyway, I think it was Ray Bream, sir, and that would be my best guess for you. Thank you for the call. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir, you're on the air. Turn your radio off.
It's off now.
That's
Adele?
Yes.
It's me, the Wandering Jew. No, I'm just kidding. Hello?
Yes.
I had two things that had nothing to do with your show so far, other than...
Well, this is open lines. You do what you want.
You're attracting some pretty unintelligent life forms, I'd say. But I had a rumor from... I'm in Alaska, I'm in Fairbanks, from people in North Slope, and I had heard that they're using the HARP system to mess up the weather.
We've heard the same thing.
And that's why the weather is all messed up. Also, my other thing was a historical tidbit. You being a Mason and all, I heard that the only two U.S. presidents that weren't Masons were Kennedy and Lincoln.
Really?
Yeah.
And then they were, of course, were shot.
Correct.
So then as a 99th degree Mason, I could safely become president.
Right.
Okay. All right, sir. I appreciate the call. I'm not sure on the life form scale where that call placed you. We'll let the audience be the judge of that. On my alien immortal line, you're on the air.
Art Bell.
Yes.
This is Matt calling from Eugene.
Are you an immortal?
No, I am married to, I don't know if you would call her an incarnate or a reincarnate or an immortal.
Okay. Why are you unsure?
Because I don't know where you would draw the line between immortal and reincarnate. The physical plane that we know of being a point at which you start.
So, this is a person you're married to, right?
Correct.
How can you be sure it's not just a series of secret facelifts?
Excuse me?
I said, how can you be sure it's not just a series of secret facelifts?
A facelift. Well, I'm talking about people that run into her that have some type of seemingly clairvoyant ability remark, you have a very old soul. So,
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, I don't know either way, but she has special abilities, one of which is to tell, she can tell me when we're going to get money. An unusual large amount of money. Her
That's a very useful ability.
Well, unfortunately, it doesn't happen enough. and she also knows I work as a machinist, and everything in a machine shop wants to cut you or kill you.
Yeah.
And she'll be able to tell when I get hurt, if I get anything that's extremely painful, like large lacerations that require stitches.
Right.
And she'll be able to tell.
Saw marks.
Before I ever call her and let her know, from the emergency room.
Well, it would be a lot more helpful if she could tell you beforehand so that you didn't have to go to the emergency room.
Well, she does have some...
In other words, that'd be a good practical application, you would think.
Right, and if she ever got it down to the point where she could tune it, I think she'd be able to do that. She does have bad feelings sometimes and visions. One time in particular, we were going to take a trip up to Portland to visit her grandparents.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
She envisioned the car upside down on the side of the road and, the children in the back seat dead and that kind of thing. So we didn't go.
And it didn't happen.
Oh, of course.
Well, that's...
how would you prove it otherwise? You'd be dead, right?
That's correct. So you wouldn't be around to say, see...
Right.
it's true, and it reminds me, thank you very much, of the old story about the guy in the bar, and I'm sure you've heard this, talking to the other guy next to him, both of them drinking. One guy says, the way to keep elephants away is to just snap your fingers like that. The other guy, about half crock, looks over him and says, come on, what a crock. The guy's sitting there going. After a while, he turns over the guy who's doing the. He says, see? You see any elephants? It's working. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, this is Scott in KX Country.
Hello.
And I was calling about your book signing.
Oh, yes. I can tell you a little more tonight.
Okay.
It's going to be at the Portland Convention Center.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be, and I already gave the date, and I can't tell you yet the time, but Portland Convention Center is going to be the place.
Okay, it just happens to be my birthday, and I was wondering, are you going to be selling books at the book signing?
Well, we're yet deciding on that, and I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
My wife was going to get me a book for my birthday, wanted to know if I should order it in advance.
Okay, yeah, I think maybe what we're going to do is to pre-sell the books with a very special little secret mark on them and then allow people to bring those books, but whether they'll be sold on the spot or not is up in the air right now. So all of this is in the formulation stage. And we'll let you know.
Okay. Well, I'm looking forward to meeting you.
All right, my friend.
Okay.
Thank you. Take care. That's the only book signing I'm ever going to do. It is, I can confirm for you now, in Portland at the convention center. You notice, not a bookstore. Not going to do a bookstore. So Portland is going to be the city of choice. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
How do you do, Mr. Bill? I've got a question. Have you read the new
excuse me, the new astronomy magazine regarding Hale-Bopp?
No, I've not yet got a copy, but I've heard it's got a picture of Hale-Bopp right on the front.
Yeah, it's pretty weak. From what I was hearing, I think it was Hoagland was telling you about how many degrees he'd see it in the sky and whatnot.
Yes.
They're saying this is going to be pretty much a fizzle. I mean, they're not saying it's going to be a fizzle, but compared to what I've heard, it's going to be pretty much a fizzle.
Well, you know what? I don't think they know. That's what I think. Every time I hear about Hale-Bopp, there's a new estimation about its size, a new estimation about how close it will pass to Earth or where it will cross Earth's path, whether it will be a big show or a fizzle. So I don't think they know. And I don't even, I mean, we're talking about people who don't even know whether beta carotene is good for you or bad for you.
Yeah, I'm glad I quit eating that stuff.
So, I mean, how do they know about Hale-Bopp? Come on.
Do you know who Duncan Steele is?
Well, that's a familiar name.
Yeah, he, geez, you should have him. He'd be an excellent guest. He's the world's authority on asteroids and comets and their collisions with Earth.
Do you have a way to get hold of him?
No, I'm sorry. I bought his book, though. Hoagland might set you up. Geez, Dale, any of your buddies out around there might know how to get a hold of him.
All right, I'll pursue it.
Got one more thing to say, though.
Yes, sir.
According to Duncan Steele, oh, he's an Aussie, by the way, so Dale can probably help you out.
Another Aussie. Okay.
Yeah. Duncan wrote this book, I think it was 93, but it's got a 95 published date on it. It was plainly before Hale-Bopp. But he's saying a doomsday scenario for the world would be if a super comet, which is what they're pretty much classifying Hale-Bopp is, would fly into our solar system. And what would happen there is eventually we would fly through some cometary debris.
Right.
And I don't know if you know a lot about cometary constituency. Like, I don't know really, but I'm learning. What it's called, it's a chondritic material that a comet will put out.
Well, it's made up of many materials. Is it not like a giant, some describe it as a giant snowball, ice. Some think it's constituted with a rock center.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knows.
Sure. Yeah, there's speculation. They're figuring it's sulfur and carbon and gases, you know,
yeah.
Various components there. But they've had historic accounts where we have flown through the tail of, like, a dead comet, the debris in the sky,
yeah.
And it's killed tens of thousands of people and crushed villages in China. Just cataclysmic events that we're not real familiar with.
Well, wouldn't surprise me.
But, yeah, go ahead and pick up that book and try and get him on there if you can.
I'll see what I can do.
And then keep up the good work. And I'm
Thank
up here in Portland, and I'll be seeing you.
All right, my friend. Yes, you may. Indeed. Listen, coming up Monday night, Tuesday morning is a show you don't want to miss. I've booked Ken Goddard, who is the director of the National Fish and Wildlife Forensic Lab up in Oregon, the only government-sanctioned lab of its kind. It does a lot of secret work. And we're going to be talking about the Australian rabbit virus, viruses in general, as much as he can tell us. I'm told this lab is incredible. Kind of like, you remember the book The Hot Zone, those of you who read The Hot Zone? I can't give away too much here, but I talked to somebody very close to me who had a tour of as much of the lab as they could with security show him. And let's put it this way. This person said he felt like he was taking a tour of the hot zone. Okay? So there'll be some things my guest will not be able to talk about. And I did tell him, he's a gregarious guy. He said, look, there's some stuff it's classified. I can't talk about it. I said, well, when we get to that point in the interview, you just let me know, you know. And that kind of speaks volumes by itself, doesn't it? When you can't talk about something. All right, back now to our international line, and here we go. You're on the air. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Where are you calling from, sir?
London.
You're calling from London, England?
Uh-huh.
And where? How are you able to hear us in London?
1,000.
1,000. That would be KOMO in Seattle.
KOMO in Seattle.
Oh, well, that's absolutely amazing.
Now, you was talking about the virus down in Australia.
Yes, sir, I was.
We listened to that, and we had a virus back in 1954, where a French professor in France was experimenting with rabbits. And he put a virus into these rabbits. The farmers from England went over and got some of them, and they spread myxomatosis all over England.
Oh, my gosh.
At that. The thing is now, they're immune to it, and the rabbits have come back in their thousands again.
And now... And
they got rid of the rabbits,
so,
of the virus.
In other words, they adjusted to the virus, and they
That's
came
it.
Back. Well, I don't know how you feel in England, but here many of us feel that it's wrong to fool with Mother Nature.
Oh, yeah. Now, another thing I was going to tell you about was the sonic boom in San Diego we heard.
Yes.
This is rather funny. The hotels in London are parked right alongside London Airport. And when the Concorde takes off... Mm. Most of the cars are fitted with alarm systems, and when the Concorde takes off, it sets all those alarms off.
Yes, actually,
I
was very, very lucky, and I got an opportunity to fly the Concorde to Paris, and when it took off from Las Vegas, it also knocked a whole bunch of people right up against the fence. And listen, my friend, thank you, and thank you for your very sharp listening abilities.
Okay.
Take care. That's London, England, on our international line. Cool. You see, isn't this amazing? I always thought if I tried this, there would be a tremendous a response, and frankly, it's much greater than I even thought. And on my immortal alien line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Oh, wonderful. A female.
Yes. Hi.
Are you an alien or an immortal?
I am an immortal woman. Maybe you can help me actually figure it out. I am I will be 100 years old, 2002.
Boy, you sound great.
Thank you.
You sound great.
I actually look like a 22-year-old female. So.
You do?
Yes.
I don't suppose you look anything like Shannon Doherty, huh?
I don't, but she is a beautiful girl, isn't she?
Oh, gosh. Yes.
Maybe I'll tell you my story, and maybe you can help me figure it out. I was just a common actual prostitute in the 20s, and I was...
In the Roaring 20s?
Yes, that's what they call it, the Roaring 20s.
Wow.
And I was doing an errand not too late at night for the madam of the house.
Right.
I was attacked and raped and killed. And I was left in an alley. And I know that I went on some sort of journey. I don't know if I can explain it. I went out of my body. I don't recall what happened. But
Do you recall your death?
Yes. And I'd rather not think about it, to be perfectly honest.
I can understand.
I got up, and I had no wounds. I was covered in blood, and I just kind of wandered around the streets in days. I realized that something had happened, and it was quite significant, and I...
What is your earliest memory?
My earliest memory is just of being a child, of growing up, and I was raised in New
listen,
York.
Listen. I have a break coming. Can you afford to hold on?
Yes, I can.
I mean, you do have all the time in the world.
I have plenty of money, actually.
You're back on the air again.
Oh, okay.
And it sounds like a very, very interesting story.
It is very interesting, and I'm still learning every day as...
Aren't we all?
My life goes on, yes. As I was saying, this was in Manhattan. This was in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And after wandering around for half the night, I realized that I had some sort of purpose. I still don't know what it is. I went back to the brothel, the house where I worked, and I had some money saved. And I took all the money that I had, and I went out, and I found a room for myself and just groomed myself. And I needed to acquire money, and the best way I knew how to do that was to get a wealthy gentleman.
A sugar daddy.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I've been married twice to two very wealthy men, older men.
Double and, sugar.
Yes, and both have obviously died.
Passed on.
I've outlived them.
Inherited their...
Exactly.
All their sugar.
Exactly. Various bank accounts around the United States. But anyway...
One thing I'm curious about,
sure.
And that is, you married them. At some point... Didn't they notice that you didn't seem to be getting any older?
Yes, they did. And, Art, it was harder to explain it to friends and business partners. And what I ended up doing was just wearing a scarf and sunglasses and, you know, I guess the best explanation would be kind of pulled a Jackie Kennedy type of thing where I covered my face a lot.
Do you have any idea what made you immortal?
I don't. That's the part that I'm trying to learn more about. As I said before, I went into some sort of journey. I know that my soul or whatever it was in me went on a personal journey of some sort, and I came back with a message of some sort. I really can't say, but I can tell you that there are other beings out there and that are like myself.
I'm told that.
And I certainly don't disqualify.
Have you met others?
No, I haven't, but I know that there are beings out there that want to destroy us. And I have had some near fatal experiences with these beings, and I reluctantly, I don't want to tell you where I am.
No, don't. That's fine. You don't have to. I am curious. You're not in Trump, are you?
No.
All right. If
I was Trump, I'd probably have to come out and visit you or something, but no.
All right.
Not.
Can you be killed? Can you die?
Yes.
You can die a physical death.
These beings have the power to destroy me. I know this. I don't really know how. It's somewhat of a mystery to me. I don't know why I've been made this way. I don't know why I was chosen. I use my wealth to educate myself. And
all right, there is one other eternally, good word, important question to ask a person like yourself, and that is your status, in your opinion, a blessing or a curse?
It is a bit of both. It's like very lonely having the ones you love die on you. I love both the men I married very much, and they both outlived me, and
outlived both of them.
I'm sorry, yes, excuse me. I outlived both of them, and it was very, very painful, but of course it is eternal youth. You know, I look like a 22-year-old woman constantly.
That must be great. That's about the right time to be.
And I'm quite attractive, so I'd say it's, you know, a plus on that hand, but...
Will you marry again?
I don't, as far as the wealth, as far as my money is concerned, no. But if I, it's hard to say. It's very painful to have to go through seeing.
So now are you now at the point where you avoid relationships?
Exactly.
Really?
Yes.
See, that's very sad.
It is very sad, I agree. But I don't know. It's very hard to see those people die. So I just try and avoid that. But it's very interesting to try and learn. I mean, the way things are revolving, the quickening, as you put it, I listen to your show quite often, is so apparent. I don't know what's going to happen. I feel that I've...
Well, it would certainly be more apparent to you than it would to me. I've had a very short span to look at it.
Yes, it's very apparent to me. And I feel that I've been put here for some reason to... I don't know if to aid that or to stop it. I hope it's revealed to me, whoever did this to me. I don't know if it's a god or what, but
do you have a first name you would like to give us?
My first name is Gabriella.
Figures.
kind of a
I don't know, sort of a mystical name.
Yeah, it is. I like my name, but I was going to say I was planning on flying into Portland from where I am to see you, but I don't know if I'll do that. Since now I just broadcast it over you.
Now I'm
going
to be watching. I'm going to be watching for a 22-year-old now.
Well, I'm sure you'll have plenty of 22-year-olds.
Yeah, so that's
regardless.
It. You'll probably pass, and I'll meet you, and I'll just never know.
Yep, this is true. I may be there, but see, the ones, whoever these beings are that want to destroy others like us we can see each other. There's just something about the way we look to each other, when I see these people or whatever they are, I know instantly, I know that I have to get away, and they know that they have to come after me. So I don't know if I'll do that now, but...
All right. Now you've cast out, so you can come to the book signing in Portland, because they don't really know whether you're going to be there or not.
Now, how can I signal you? I can't... I have to be very discreet. There's no way I can tell you who I was, except for my name.
We need a secret sign.
My name. That will... Maybe if you can remember that.
I'll never forget it.
Okay.
Thank you, my dear.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye. Live long and prosper. as they say. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Hi.
This is Scott in San Jose. I'm listening to KSFO, where right is all the way to the left.
And I'll tell you something about KSFO.
Yes.
The ratings are out.
Yeah.
And we went from like about a number, I'm talking about my time slot now.
Uh-huh.
From like about a number 13 ranked to like tied for number 2 in a book, in a ratings book, sir.
That's 3 months?
Yeah.
Wow.
Is that cool or is that cool?
You're doing something right.
Yeah, I'm doing something anyway.
Yeah. Remember I asked you about one of your pieces of bumper music a couple of times and we weren't quite able to identify it?
I think that it's Classical Gas by Mason.
Can I taped it. Can I play about 10 seconds of it?
Go ahead.
All right, hold on. Let me just get it on here.
Yep.
My neighbors are going to kill me, but whatever.
No, that's all right. That's just Mo. My affiliate, I guess that's okay. Oh.
Did you can't identify that?
Oh, yeah, sure. That's Nyman. His name is Nyman, and...
Yeah, that's it.
That's it, right?
Yeah, how do you spell that?
N-Y-M-A-N, and I'm trying to think of his first name now, and I'm sorry I can't. But, yeah, that's the piece.
You know, is that the composer or the...
His last name is Nyman, N-Y-M-A-N.
Do you know the name of the piece?
I'm sorry, not this instant, but now that we've identified it, I guarantee we'll nail it down.
And it's available on CD, you think?
Yes.
Oh, great. Okay, but one more thing. Why do you like Shannon Doherty so much, or just her face, or what?
Yeah, it's her face, actually. I mean, the rest of her is okay, too, but it is her face. She has, despite her reputation as a bad girl, she's not a bad girl. She has the most innocent, beautiful, cute face that I've ever seen in my whole life.
She's up there, yeah. Also, she's a Republican.
She sure is. She's a dedicated Republican. So that even adds to it.
Definitely.
I appreciate your call, sir.
73.
There's a ham. He's a ham. Wild card line, you're on the air.
Hey, Art.
Yes.
This is Mike in Portola, California.
Yes, Mike.
And I'm listening to you on a station in Reno. I think it's 780 or 780.
KOH, Reno.
Yeah.
Yes.
I just wanted to say I think the only way that mankind is going to be able to control its population is by introducing a lethal disease. I think that's the only answer for controlling this just explosion of people all over the world. I mean, this.
Yeah, planet, you know, you figure somewhere in the deep, deprived 20 floors below the UN, there's a gigantic mahogany desk, and around it there are them.
Well, probably, you know, not even UN. I mean, a private
little wood thing with a bunch of vials in it, and they're sitting around making executive decisions, and who knows? Maybe.
It could happen. It probably might have already happened.
Well, that's what I was about to say. Who knows? It may have already happened, and that virus that's out there that has been released, it may be simply a matter of time before the mutation occurs that will produce the effect that you just talked about.
Well, it could happen. I think it's the only way that, I mean, there is no other way.
Now, here's
whole population.
Here's a more important question. Let's say you're on that. You're the guy who's got to make the decision.
Okay.
The scientists are sitting there advising you, and they're saying, look, things are spinning out of control. The environment will not longer, very much longer, support human life. And if we do not do something, all life will be lost. Do you wish to now release the organism?
Well, I would say it's either going to be that, carrying capacity for mankind.
No, you're avoiding my question. You are the dude.
It's on me?
It's on you.
Let it go.
Let it go?
Let it go.
Set it loose? Set it loose? Mass death?
Let it go.
All right, well, I appreciate the call, and all I guess I can say is, aren't we all glad he's not sitting there? end on that note to our alien line. I think we've got an alien here. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, you are an alien, eh?
Yes, I am. I am from star system 09.02, universe 98, galaxy 7. Commander of Exhibition 3.
I know where that is. And you're a commander?
Yes, of Exhibition 3, Operation Lifesaver.
Uh-oh. Sounds a little like Apocalypse Now if we don't do something, eh?
Well, when we first arrived here, we got hit by lightning, and we crashed in a place called Roswell.
Ah, well, there's a big debate, and maybe you can settle that. Some say Roswell, some say Socorro, and you're telling us, in fact, it was Roswell.
Well, our ship crashed in Roswell. The other one crashed in Socorro.
And then the story goes on that you had these little boxes. Now, do you have six fingers and six toes?
Yes, I do.
You do?
Yep.
How do you manage? I mean, don't people notice that?
No, I can tuck one under, in like in my gloves.
Oh, I see.
So I have to wear gloves wherever I go.
That would work. And, of course, your shoes might have to be a little larger, wider, that
yeah,
is.
Yeah, they are. I have to special order my shoes.
I see. So you sound young. I mean, the crash, of course, was back in the 40s, so...
Well, I had to alter my voice to sound more like human.
That would make sense. Okay, so... You implied that something is coming up for Earth that we've got to try to avoid. Are you're going to help us avoid?
No, negative.
You're not going to help us?
No, it's kind of grim.
Grim.
We're here to extract blood plasma. Because we need to take that back to our home planet. And we pump it into the turbines, which pump out steam into our atmosphere.
Use blood for energy?
Well, that's what we survive on, by inhaling the blood plasma.
Oh, that sucks.
So we need that, because we don't have a diet. We don't eat. We simply survive by inhaling the blood plasma that's in our atmosphere that has slowly depleted over the years, much like your ozone layer.
So, in other words, we're nothing but a bunch of atmospheric refreshers to you.
Yes. That's quite well.
Disgusting. That's really disgusting, you know. Can you imagine that we would think of that as disgusting?
Yes, but for us, it's rather, it's a...
Life
and
death.
It's a wonderful scent.
Blood?
Yes.
Well, does it have to be human, or will animal blood...
Only cattle. Only cattle, because the blood plasma is very similar to human.
So, in other words, that answers the mutilation question.
Oh, well, I guess it would. I never thought of that.
What do you mean you never thought of it?
Well, I never thought of it that way.
Well, aren't you part of the people that are doing it?
Yes, but there are other species also that need that too. We're not the only ones that... We're at war right now also with other species.
This is really the worst yet.
And one time, you guys, it was even caught on a video of the space shuttle, one of our missiles.
You were referring to STS-48?
Yes.
That was one of yours?
Yes. But we missed.
Well, it's...
We're doing the best we can.
Yeah, sounds like it. Well, look, I appreciate... I guess I appreciate your call. It's a hell of a way to end up the start the weekend. Thank you very much. So... We're nothing but a bunch of atmospheric replenishers, ultimately. Wild card line, you're on the air.
Art, I just need your fax number.
What will you do with it?
I've got something I want to fax to you on Dreamland on Sunday.
Okay. It's no more than 3 pages. That's the maximum.
It's only two, so.
All right. Area code 702-727-8499.
Thank you. Have a good weekend.
Yep, you too. And my internet address is artbell@aol.com. No spaces in there, folks. Art, ArtBell, at AOL.com. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Well, you would have been, but you have a bad phone. First-time caller line, you're on the air.
Hi, is this the Immortal line?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, yes, of course. Bad me. Immortal, yes. You're an immortal?
Yes, I am, as a matter of fact.
And for how long have you been with us?
I've only been around for about 35 years.
Well, then you're like the other guy. How do you know you're immortal?
Well, I'll tell you, Art. When I was 2 or 3 years old, there's a couple of reasons, actually, that I know. Come across a few people who've been able to see the auras around people.
Yes.
And what they look like.
Yes.
And when I was about 2 or 3 years old, I saw a very, very old gentleman who called me over to him. I was at a park with my mom.
Yeah.
And he told me that I was immortal, and I asked my mom what that meant. And she told me that, well, it means you're not going to die. And I said, well, she said, well, why? Where did you hear that? And I pointed to the guy, and I said, well, he told me that I was. So she went over and talked to him, and, you know, I don't know exactly what she said to him or anything, but I'm sure he's long gone. And there was another time I was walking around in a mall, and there was a girl there that obviously had the same condition that she could see auras.
Yes.
And out of the blue, she just blurted out, hey, that guy's immortal, and she was pointing right at me. And I didn't even know who this was.
A mall immortal.
Well, that's just where that happened, Art.
Well, have you ceased aging?
Well, actually, I've asked people in the past few years how old I look when they ask how old I am, and they say, well, you look about 28, 29.
Yeah, but how can you be sure that you won't get to be like 40 and speed rot?
I expect to be around a long time.
Old picture of Dorian Gray, you know.
No. I believe I have a mission, and I believe I know what it is.
And
I can't tell you what it is.
Oh.
But I can tell you this. Remember this phone call, because in a few years, my mission will begin, and everyone will know who I am.
That will be ominous sounding to the religious people out there. We will remember your call, though, sir.
I will say my name is Don. That's not my name. That is not the name I'll use.
All right.
All
right, well, listen, we got to go.
All righty.
We are limited in our time here, I'm sorry to say. East of the Rockies, you're on the air without a lot of time.
Hallelujah. This is Mike in Madison. Last chance to say something.
Yes, Mike.
Mr. Bell, why don't you seek out, and maybe I'll help you if you need help on this, a decent climatologist who can really enlighten us as to what's really going on with the weather?
Mike, if you can help, you know I'll do it.
Okay, well, I hear the music creeping in.
And so Mike from Madison, Wisconsin gets the honors this morning.
To all the people who either love it or hate it.